I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Lost amid the countdown to President Trump's primetime border security address on Tuesday, new developments in special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Filings from Paul Manafort's attorney showed that the president's one-time campaign manager had been working with Russian intelligence on a Ukrainian peace plan. Remember, Manafort pled guilty to conspiracy back in September. These filings also show that Manafort passed along polling data on the presidential campaign.
And at some point in 2016, we assume during the summer, shared that with a known Russian intelligence operative.
That's Senator Mark Warner from the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday on CNN.
To me, this appears as the closest we've seen yet to real live actual collusion. Clearly, Manafort was trying to collude with Russian agents. And the question is, what did the president know? What did Donald Trump know about this exchange of information?
Meanwhile, on Wednesday, reports emerged that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein will be leaving the Justice Department in the coming weeks. That's right around the time that William P. Barr is expected to be confirmed as the president's next attorney general. The news did not sit well with Senate Democrats.
Last month, we learned that Mr. Barr sent the Justice Department an unsolicited memo criticizing the special counsel's investigation. Mr. Rosenstein's potential departure only heightens the stakes for Mr. Barr's nomination. And I still believe, after the revelations about Mr. Barr's unsolicited memo, President Trump ought to withdraw this nomination.
So how will Robert Mueller's investigation hold up in the face of change in leadership at the DOJ? Well, we have Marcy Wheeler here to help us out with that. She's an independent journalist who covers national security and civil liberties at emptywheel.net. Marcy, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
So lots of movement in this space. Walk us through the Manafort court filing. What exactly did we learn from that?
So last month, the Mueller team declared him in breach of his agreement and submitted a document laying out five things that it said he had lied about. And this was their response. They basically said, we know we're going to lose this because the standard that the government has to prove that he lied intentionally is so low. But here's our best excuse for why he did lie. It wasn't a particularly good excuse, but the more interesting thing is that the redactions on it, for whatever reason, didn't work. So it gave us the opportunity to read what Mueller had accused him of lying about and go back and make a little more sense of what Mueller had said. So the important part is he lied about a series of questions about Konstantin Kalimnik, who is this Russian whom he worked with in Ukraine, but who also has ties to Oleg Deripaska, who's a Russian oligarch. And there were basically four things that Manafort did not tell the truth to with Mueller. So he's basically refusing to tell about his conspiracy, his working with somebody who's got close ties to a bunch of Russian oligarchs.
We're understanding that there was data that Manafort shared with the Russians. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, three things in particular. One is that Manafort gave Kalimnik data, polling data. According to the New York Times, most of it was public, but some was not. And he gave that to Kalimnik, expecting it to be shared with two Ukrainian oligarchs. One of them has said that, no, that didn't happen, which raises questions about whether he meant to share it with these Ukrainian oligarchs or whether he meant to share it with Deripaska. In any case, in spring of 2016, Manafort was giving campaign information to somebody who has ties to the same Russian intelligence agency as the agency that hacked the DNC. And then the other key thing is that he kept in touch with this guy, Konstantin Kalimnik, over the entire time he was on the campaign, went and met with him after he got fired from the campaign, met with him the following year, January or February in Madrid. And over that entire period of time, he was discussing Ukraine with this guy, and in particular, discussing a peace plan in Ukraine that would basically give the Russians everything they want and possibly put Yanukovych back in power.
What is legal and illegal about what the findings show? I mean, is it illegal to share polling data with someone working for a foreign government, for example?
I've not seen anyone argue that that's illegal. it would be illegal if, say, Kolomnik gave it to GRU, and GRU, this is the intelligence agency, Russia's military intelligence, and GRU used it to pinpoint what they were going to go steal from the Democrats. So in other words, it could possibly put Kolomnik in the loop at the beginning of the hacking and targeting the hacking that the GRU did against the Democrats. We just don't know what happened with the data yet. Likewise, the June 9th meeting, which a lot of people have talked about, Paul Manafort was there. The Russians got that meeting by saying, we want to give you dirt on Hillary Clinton. The outcome of the meeting was Don Jr. saying that if Trump got in office, he would revisit Magnitsky sanctions against Russian oligarchs. But there is a sense that that meeting may have been part of setting up a quid pro quo where Trump accepts dirt from Russians, starts offering policy considerations in response, and if one of those policy considerations is a Ukrainian peace deal, which again, Manafort was talking about the entire time he worked for Trump, then that would be a quid pro quo, and it would basically involve a conspiracy between the Trump campaign, or at least his manager, and the Russians who hacked the DNC.
As we know, there's lots of hype about this case in particular. And I'm just wondering, when it comes to the idea that this is finally the thing that could potentially be the most damning piece of evidence suggesting that there was actual collusion, do you agree with that? Is this pretty much signaling that that was the case?
Well, the discussion in these filings, I mean, the Mueller side of the discussion is completely redacted, or the substantive parts. The Manafort part, they try and downplay it. So, for example, on the Ukrainian stuff, Mueller is clear that he believes that Manafort and Kolomnik talked about Ukraine every single time they talked during the campaign. And Manafort's trying to say, oh, well, maybe it came up. And Mueller has details to substantiate what he's arguing. So at this point, we don't know the significance of these things. As you said, giving polling data to foreigners is not by itself illegal. The question is what happens to that polling data. And what people should take away from this is Paul Manafort has already pled guilty to conspiring with Konstantin Kolomnik, right? I hear a lot of people say, oh, no Trump official has pled guilty or has been accused even of conspiring with Russians. That's simply not true. Paul Manafort has already pled guilty about later things, about hiding the fact that he had these ongoing ties with these oligarchs while he was working for Trump for free. But what we now know is that that conspiracy, that work with Kolomnik, that ongoing conversation with Kolomnik continued through the entire time that Manafort was working for Donald Trump and even after.
Of course, there was also news yesterday that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's timeline for departure is nigh. Does that tell us anything about where the Mueller investigation could end up? Is the timing auspicious?
There's a lot of unclear reporting on this because while it is clear that he is ready to leave, it's been a crazy long 2 years for him. You know, that was the first report that he was getting ready to leave. And then subsequent reports said, well, he's going to make sure that the Mueller investigation is safe before he leaves. He seems confident that William Barr, who is presumably going to be confirmed shortly as the new attorney general, that he will respect the Mueller investigation. My guess is that Rosenstein believes something has to happen, probably another substantial indictment that explains what you and I just were talking about, that there are three people in Trump's immediate orbit who were actually working with the Russians throughout this operation. And that'll be laid out, I think, in some kind of legal filing. And Mueller will write up whatever else has to do with Trump himself. And maybe at that point, Rosenstein would leave.
We also heard yesterday, lots of news this week, Marcy. The New York Times reported yesterday that the new Democratic House majority is, of course, using its powers to call the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, in to testify about the Trump administration's plans to lift sanctions on companies tied to this Russian oligarch that we've talked about, Oleg Deripaska. And I'm wondering if you can tell us, how does that tie into not just Manafort's business relationships, but also potentially into the investigation?
Right. So Deripaska had to cut his ownership in the sanctioned company called Rusal, which is a big aluminum interest. And the Treasury Department basically said, if you cut Deripaska, who's the one we're targeting here, out of ownership to a certain degree, then we're going to lift sanctions on the company. And I've seen competing questions about how effectively the ownership changes do take the money out of Deripaska's pocket. But I think Democrats are raising real questions about whether removing the sanctions on Rusal ends up not accomplishing the goals of the sanctions. So seven of the new heads of committee came in and they want a briefing on this. And I think it's a good question. Again, if there was a quid pro quo in the election operation, Mueller hasn't shown it yet. He hasn't alleged it yet. But if that's what's going on, and there's a lot of reason to believe that's true, it would be for sanction relief. And effectively, what the Trump administration has done is not impose the sanctions that Congress has demanded, and for it to happen with a guy that Manafort owes a lot of money to, with a guy who is getting reports from the Trump campaign, that does look pretty suspicious.
Marcy Wheeler is an independent journalist who covers national security and civil liberties at emptywheel.net. Marcy, thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.